Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be on the phone with you live here for the next 60 minutes. Tonight we've got an exciting show for you, and this is a show that if you've missed any other shows, this is a show that you really don't want to miss because this particular show involves every one of us, especially when we reach a certain age. But before we get right into it, I'll give you the title, Our Relationships a Gamble. Our Relationships a Gamble. This is a show that you don't want to miss. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, Ms. Lisa Cross, who's faithfully been with me, and she's going to tell you a little bit about herself and what it is she does and how you can get in touch with her if you need her services. But this is a show that you will really want to call your friends and tell them tune in early enough, because you don't want to miss this one. This one is Our Relationships a Gamble. And after we get to tonight's story, which we'll be getting to within the next 7 or 8 minutes, that'll give you time to send a text quickly to your friends and tell them to log in to this program by dialing 347-857-1769. Once again, you will definitely want to text your friends real quick, and because we're going to read the story, and you will want them to tune in at 347-857-1769. They don't want to miss that story because tonight's theme centers around that story, and it will have you thinking. It really will. Let's go ahead and bring in my co-host and Ms. Lisa Cross, and she's going to tell you a little bit about herself and what it is she does and how she do it. Ms. Cross, welcome. You're live.
Yes. Hello. 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 This is Camila Cross. I am a master's level social worker. Also, I am the founder and CEO of Your Worth, LLC. It's actually an anger management organization, so I actually offer anger management services. If it's court ordered, if it's employee ordered, if it's just something to where you feel like you might need assistance with controlling your anger, I'm actually here and awaiting to provide you services. So you can actually contact me. My number is 954-258-500. And I look forward to being with you guys with this exciting show.
Okay. Do you have like an email where they can reach out to you, Ms. Cross?
Yeah, sure. You can email me at yourworthllc@gmail.com.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Now, you know, as we always do, I want to just put this disclaimer out there. The views and the opinions that are expressed on this podcast are those of my own, my co-hosts, and this information, or the callers. This information in no way gives legal advice or any psychology advice. All information is for educational and informational purposes only. Anything perceived outside of that is solely not required or recommended. So anything that you if you hear the callers, myself, or my co-hosts, those are basically our opinions, and we're not trying to give professional advice on the air, but just informative information that you may want to think about. And we certainly welcome your opinions as well. We welcome your comments. And so having said that, let me just start out with, and at the top of the hour, there are times when people actually will respond to tonight's topic. And as the show progresses, they have a tendency sometimes to think differently before we get to the end of the show. So that's one of the fine tools of doing this radio broadcast. It gets us into a deeper area of thinking. And like we start out tonight and ask this general question to Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, in your opinion, do you think relationships are a gamble? And if so, what do we actually mean by that?
Well, I actually do think that relationships are a gamble. I guess we're just looking at the definition of gamble, meaning that you're taking a chance. You know, you really don't have the ability in the beginning to kind of weigh the stakes of what you're dealing with, because you really don't know someone when you first meet them. You guys are learning each other. There are certain things maybe in your personality that may actually conflict with the other person's personality, and it's all about coming together and realizing what you're able to handle. So I definitely think it's a gamble.
Okay, so are all relationships, in your opinion, a gamble? Are all of them a gamble? I mean, couldn't there be some that you just say, I know that this is it, and this is not a gamble, because we both are going to take these vows seriously, and it's never going to happen, that we're never going to separate?
Yeah, I think that with gamble, it's not that it's a bad thing. You know, when you're taking a gamble, I look at it like you're taking a chance. So I do believe in our relationship, you are taking a gamble, because you're kind of stepping out on faith. And you might meet someone and you might realize that person's not for you, but you may meet someone that can change your life. So I feel like it definitely is you stepping out and taking a chance and actually kind of trusting the process, you know, because you don't know this person enough to trust them. So you have to trust the process first, and in time you come to trust this person. So I think it definitely is to where you're taking a gamble, but not in a negative sense.
Okay, but so are you saying to me then that faith, you say you're kind of stepping out on faith. Are you saying that faith mm-hmm. is a gamble? Because you use that kind of in the same paragraph or sentence.
Yeah, in a sense, because I look at a gamble as a chance. And when
right.
if we're looking at faith, it's like you leading by sight and leading by faith and not by sight, right? Because so you don't really know what
yeah.
tomorrow may look like, but you're still going to take that opportunity. You're still going to at least make the attempt. So that's how I'm looking at the definition of gamble. So it's not a bad
right.
thing, because sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But if you never take the opportunity, there's no way to win.
Okay, but isn't that, Ms. Cross, and I'm not trying to confuse the thought process
mm-hmm.
out here, but isn't that really, you say it's not either bad or good, but I kind of see it the opposite, that it is, it could be bad or good. I mean, it's good if it works out continuously works out, but perhaps it's not so good that if it doesn't. So isn't that like flipping the coin that you got to, because divorces are ending in over 50% now. So isn't it, you know, a toss of a coin that there's a possibility that it may work, and there's also a possibility, equal possibility, that it might not work. So isn't that a gamble? I mean, it's a gamble. You
yeah.
go and you throw some dice, and just one dice, and you're thinking that, come on, six. And
yeah.
isn't that like how many sides are there to that dice?
Well, you know, I always look at the kind of the baseline definition of what things are. And with the definition of gamble is to take risky actions in the hope of a desired result. So in a sense,
right.
you are taking a risk, because you really don't know any, especially when you meet someone, you don't know this person. So it is kind of risky, if we look at it on a general sense, to step out and say, you know what, I'll attempt a relationship with someone who I don't even know. Logically, it's kind of like, if we look at it kind of on the surface, it really makes no sense. You know, you're doing something against what you actually are comfortable and know to do. So you are taking a risk, but you might get the desired result. You might find someone
right.
who is exactly what you're looking for, and you have the happily ever after. Or you may find someone that was not compatible with you, and you guys don't even make it, you know, past the second date. But you're at least making the attempt. And if you don't make the attempt, you'll never know what the outcome is.
Right. So then when you go before in the church to get married, and I'm on the same page with you pretty much, when you go before the minister to get married and you take these vows, just before, prior to saying I do, isn't it a possibility that this is a gamble, that it may or may not work?
In the reality, yeah.
What is it?
I believe in the reality. If we look at it for what it is, it is a gamble. There's some people that you will meet that will tell you, I will never get married because of what they've experienced, because of the things that they may have seen their parents go through or their friends. So they're like, you know what, I already see what the probability, right? I already see what the probability of marriage can look like, so I'm not even going to take the risk. But then some of us the majority of us, I'm going to say, that believe in this happily ever after, we're going to say, you know what, I'm going to take the risk and get married, and I'm going to hope that things don't happen to where it leads to a divorce, you know, because we always know that there's a way out of a marriage. So you are taking a risk in a sense. It's not even in a, I don't want to make it negative, because I'm trying to kind of see it for what it is. Because if we look at it on a basic standpoint, as the basic definition of a gamble, it is a risk that you're taking, and it can result in a good or a bad outcome.
Right, exactly. And I'm on the same page with you. And I want to keep it, you know, try to keep it. But, you know, of course, this show deals in realities. You know, but of course, what one's might be being reality to them. Is that fair to say?
That's fair.
Fair, I suppose. All right, Ms. Cross, is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair
Ms.
to
Cross?
Say. I agree. Yes,
okay.
Hello?
Now, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I was saying, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay, good. Tonight's characters in tonight's story are relationships, a gamble. Zena, we have Zena, and then we have Adam, and we also have Bobby. All right, now, prior to dating Adam, Zena had been on an emotional roller coaster for the past 2 years due to, in fact, a horrible breakup from another relationship that she thought would have led to marriage. Now, before she could clearly purge from that relationship, which lasted a little over 4 years, she met, and not only met this guy, but she met and married Adam after dating him for only 6 months. Well, sometimes there are marriages that last, you know, get into marriage every 6 months. Things were going quite well for a while. That is until Zena realized they had very little in common and wondered if she had made the right move in getting married so suddenly. A year into their marriage, Zena began to see major red flags that she did not fully see before. She found out during the marriage that Adam previously had a serious drinking problem and could barely hold down a job. And he continued to have this drinking problem and continues to have a problem holding down a job. Zena is in her early 30s with two young children from a past relationship before she ever got married. Zena is devastated over his heavy drinking problem and insists he gets help. Adam has tendencies to become outraged and threatening when he becomes intoxicated, which actually frightens Zena and the kids. After several episodes and arguments, Zena decided she had enough, and she moved in with a close girlfriend. She was serious enough that she filed for divorce and the marriage was over within 1 year, with Zena never looking back. Although she was divorced from Adam, it did not stop her feelings of being desperate in love with him. With dreadful nights of loneliness, crying over missing Adam, Zena felt it was time to move on with her life. Approximately 10 weeks, that's a key factor, after her divorce from Adam, Zena met and she fell in love with Bobby, whom she worked with on a job and had a prior great friendship with, but she knew very little about him. Bobby assured Zena that he was like no other man she had ever dated or married, and that he would always love and adore her. Well, in the beginning, every relationship bears those similar notions of faithfulness to the bitter end. After all, it has been said, in order to get over one relationship, get involved with another one as quickly as possible. Personally, I don't think that's the best advice. Well, Bobby and Zena had a good ride for about a month and a half until one day Bobby approached Zena and told her that he had some good news and some bad news to tell her. This aroused extreme curiosity in her, as she thought he may be considering presenting a marriage proposal, of which her loneliness was driving her into any direction at this time. Well, it was not a marriage proposal. In fact, it had to do with marriage, though. He shared what he thought to be the good news first by telling Zena he would love to continue seeing her. Let me just stop there for a second, and then I'm going to come back and finish that story. But before I do, I want to ask Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, the good news was that he told Zena that he wanted to continue seeing her. I mean, wouldn't that be enough to excite somebody? Really?
Yeah, Ms. I could Cross? Imagine that it is. Because I was saying, yes, I could imagine that it is because it sounds like, you know, they're in a relationship and she's enjoying him. So, yeah, but that would spark my curiosity as to why he was saying that he wants to continue the relationship, because I'm thinking, right. You know, that they're going good, right?
Right, right. They're going real good. You know, 10 weeks strong into the relationship, I think. And now, but there's some bad news. So if the good news is that he wants to continue seeing her, what do you think could possibly be bad news?
I have an idea, but I'm going to let you finish the story.
All right. I'll go ahead and finish the story. Well, it was not a marriage proposal. In fact, it had to do with marriage. He shared with what he thought to be the good news by telling her he would love to continue seeing her. This made her excited because she was now really into Bobby. Now she wanted to know the bad news, of course, which we all would want to know. He told her that he was reconciling with his wife, who lived in another state with family, after a year of separation and returning back home to him. Now it all seemed to come together because Zena seldom visited Bobby's house, but when she did and inquired about certain clothing, he would tell her that his sister frequently lived with him. Now Zena is torn apart and begins to wonder if, in fact, relationships are a gamble. Ms. Cross, what was it that you were thinking before we, you know, I gave the bad news from this guy?
That he was married.
So you thought,
he was married. And I kind of feel like Gina's setting herself up. She's not taking time out to pause, to actually heal. She's going from one relationship to another, and I think that people make that mistake by not really taking the time out to, you know, just kind of work on themselves. You know, the fact that she was lonely, it's like you're bringing, I don't want to say she was desperate, but the fact that she was lonely, that actually interfered with her ability to see maybe some of the warning signs that were there.
Right.
Because you see, the thing is, that's one thing. People say, I never knew. That's hard for me to believe. Because you start seeing little things that trigger, you know, we have that, I don't know, you're self-conscious, the Holy Spirit, they call it all kind of different things. But there's a little inkling. You get little inklings that say something's wrong. I feel little danger signs. And the thing is, we tend to ignore them. But you went to his house, you saw the clothes, and it triggers you to question, why is the women's clothes here? And you just accept that it's his sister's. No, that's, you know, I don't know. Gina is moving too fast.
All right, we're going to ask you to hold your thought, Ms. Cross, and I concur with you. I certainly do. Let's go to Alabama here, 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Worker, you're live.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back. Jack, thank you for joining us this evening. Jack, I mean, here we got a situation. First, let me start by asking you this question. Are relationships, in your opinion, a gamble?
You know, life is a gamble. I think everything is a gamble, basically, if you want to look at it that way, because we can't see into the future. So that's why everything that we do, basically, is a gamble. But now you got to have faith. You got to have faith and believe that this is what I want and this is best for me, and you pray about it, and that's what the Lord has given you. But let me talk a little bit about this part here. Now, he was a big-time jerk. for what he did, mm-hmm. because he used her. He used her big time. Now, somebody told me this now. I'm not a young stud, but when I was a young stud, just starting out in the business world and also just recently got married, they said, let me share something with you. They were trying to school me. They said a married man would tell a single woman anything to get what he wants. Now, I didn't understand that at that time, but, you know, as life went on, you know, I kind of understood that. I kind of agree with that. And then they also said that they didn't say all men, but they said a lot of men are like dogs. They just run from pillar to post, pillar to post at all. I'm not saying that the guy in the story was a dog, but he was on the rebound, and he was using Gina, you know, as long as he could to get what he wanted. And then when he realized that he missed his wife, wanted to reconcile with her, so he gave Gina the gift of goodbye. But I just think that he was so wrong because of what he did and using her, like the getting her hopes up and leaving her on all that time. And then I think I heard you say that you don't think that you should bounce, you should jump into a relationship right away when you're on the rebound. I think that's what you said in what you shared in the story, that you don't think that you should jump right into it right away. You should take some time to get yourself
Absolutely.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's my thoughts.
I like what you're saying, Dad, and I agree with you, too, that life is a gamble. You know, everything we do, you know, you step outside your house, I mean, it's a gamble. The inside your house is a gamble. So, how could we, in your opinion, how could we maybe minimize that gamble? Or if you were to give advice to people out there that's listening to the show, what, if anything, would you tell them to minimize their gamble of that relationship?
Of a bad relationship or a relationship?
Just a gamble, a relationship period, you know, whether you're just getting into one, you know, especially.
I think Ms. Cross kind of, like I said, it takes some time and get to know the person and all. Don't move so fast. You know, take your time. You see those red flags or those warning signs. A lot of times they're right there. We just ignore them because we're overwhelmed just to have somebody. But don't be so quick to jump into a relationship at all. Take some time and, you know, test the guy or test the man or the lady and just see, you know, you throw something at him. You know, you're just trying to, I'm not want to use the devil's advocate, but you're throwing something at him to see how they would respond. You know, and then you can tell some things by doing that and all. So take your time. Don't be so quick to rush into it at all, because all that glitter is not gold. It's just not gold. It's not the way you think it's always going to be. You know, you really don't know a person until you stay with them. Then you get a chance to see how they really are when they wake up in the morning, you know, when they go to bed at night. Are they truly that real nice person that's whining and dining you the way that they are and telling you that they love you and all of that? Or do they show an attitude? You know, do they show attitude most of the time, you know, when they can't have their way? So a lot of those things you'll be able to see, those are telltale signs you'll be able to see as you, you know, you go through your experience with that person.
Right. So, I think that that's it right there when you put it that way, that those relationships can be a gamble, just like anything can be a gamble. But if you had seen these red flags at the beginning, how important is it to really run away? And I know that you say you won't never know a person until you actually live with them. But everybody's nice in the beginning stages. I mean, it takes a little while for them to start showing that other side.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's why you said that, you know, you don't rush into it also. You mentioned that, you know, you take your time and play the devil's advocate, play that role. You're throwing things out there. See how this guy is going to respond, or see how that lady is going to respond. I mean, they respond in a positive way. You can see if that's fake or not. Do it again. I mean, try it again. And then just throw some things out there, and you'll be able to tell eventually, because the truth really is going to come out eventually. It's going to come out who they really are and what they stand for and all.
I found in my some of my experience that truth can take a long time, because sometimes, I believe, when you are in love, you know, it seems like a lot of things you become so confoundedly blind to, because your love seems to overshadow things. And you know, you can almost sense that something's not right, but you choose to lean more towards your feelings of being in love with that person than wanting to think that there's a possibility that something might be wrong.
Well, I'm willing to bow on you that Gina knew that those were not his sister's clothes in that closet that he had. Oh, I'm willing to tell you that. I don't believe it. That's why she asked that question. She knew those were not her his sister's clothes. She probably thought that was his wife's clothes at all. Mm-hmm. But he lied to her. He deceived her at all. And I don't think she believed it. She just went along with it.
Exactly.
What
you
think, what Ms. Ross thinks?
Well, it's true. She wanted to. It's because sometimes we create our own reality. So she wanted to believe that. So whatever he told her, she held on to that. So I'm sure when he told her he was married, it wasn't something that she was 100% caught off guard with. That's what she wanted to believe. She wanted to believe the lie.
That's right. I agree.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Once again, we're going to ask you to hold on. We're going to go to South Florida.
Sure, sure.
We're going to go to 305-769. Welcome, you're live on the Dr. Jess Watch Show. Who do we have?
Hello, this is Ms. Augustine again.
Ms. Augustine again.
Hi,
thank you
Augustine.
For joining us.
Hi, Kitty. How are you doing? I know your mother.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right. The first thing I want to say is this, is Gina. Her name is Gina, right?
Zena.
Okay. The first thing she's doing, and she did, is she jumped into relationships too fast before she had a chance to heal. She didn't heal from the first relationship. And then she jumped into this another relationship that was almost the same, just a different scenario. Then the next thing I want to say is this, is that she did know when he told her that those clothes was his sister. She knew. We women, we have a sense. We know things before y'all tell us. But when he told her, I have good news for you and I have bad news for her, and when he told her the good news was he still wanted to see her, the first thing I thought to my mind is he was going to say, I'm gay or I'm married. So it was the only I could think that he was going to say. But there's no way she did not see the red flag. And is relationships a gamble? Yes. Life is a gamble. Like the Bible says, you know, you walk by faith, not by sight. That is true. You have to believe and trust in relationship, and you have to try. If you don't try, you'll never know. But when you do know, you got to know what to do after you try. You have to learn to let go and learn to heal. We can't be in relationship and get out of relationship and get back in a relationship within 10 weeks or even 6 months to a year. We need time to heal. It takes time. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being alone. There's nothing wrong with it. If you learn to love yourself, have fun with yourself, do you know what you do? You draw positive people to you, people who want to be around you because they wonder what she's doing. She's by herself all the time. Why is she so happy? Why is she playing music? Why is she doing this? Because they're curious. You draw what is for you to you. If it's for you.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. All of us, I think all of you all have shared an interesting perspective. Ms. Cross, let me come back to you. And we realize, and Jack, I think, presented it, that she knew that the clothes were not his sister's. You know, that's why she did ask the question. And I certainly agree with that as well. But why, Ms. Cross, in your opinion, would someone go on, even when they have these different suspicions, in your opinion? Why
would
they go on?
Get hope.
I'm sorry, you said why would they go on when what? I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, when they have these suspicions, and which are some obvious red flags, and why would you just go on? And I know you mentioned that we create our own realities, but but what would have been her reality? What could have been reality when she sees female clothes in there?
She wanted to believe that it was his sister. Because she was already vested in him. She was already, I guess, head over heels, falling for him, and didn't wanna believe that it was possible that this would be another failed relationship. And that's another thing. It may have been that, yeah, she cared about him, but this was her third relationship going in, and this would have been another failed relationship. So I think sometimes people overlook things because of the fact that they don't want to have to deal with, you know, that feeling of failure again. And towards the end of it, once she found out he was married, that's exactly what she had to experience. But I remember someone talked about, you know, not really falling in love, but standing in love. Like, you can't 100% be willing to lose 100% of who you are to be with someone. Like, what is your contribution? What's going to become your contribution to this relationship? And the whole thing is, this person started dealing with you because of the fact that they liked something within you. So for her to just, I have this thing where I don't think men respect women when they're so passive and so, you know, whatever-ish. Based on my experience, those women, they always get the, you know, kind of get the bad end of the stick. Because who wants someone that's such a pushover, you know?
Right. Jack, let me bring you in and ask you this question. You know, and I heard Ms. Ross mention that this was her third relationship, and she didn't really give herself time to really purge. So in your opinion, do you think that a major part of the problem could possibly be Gina?
Do I think a major part of the problem could possibly be Gina? I'm inclined to think otherwise, because even though, you know, she's been in three relationships, trying them out, and those other two didn't work for her, and maybe she thought that this one would work because he probably had a good game. He was sharing a lot with her and all, but he was on the rebound himself. He was rebounding from his relationship with his wife, but now he's trying to reconcile back with it all. So I'm thinking in my mind that she knew a lot that was going on, but she was hoping that maybe she could change the guy. Who knows? Maybe she thought she could change him or win him over where he could forget about his wife. Now, one thing I disagree with what someone said earlier is that it's a joy. There's nothing wrong with being alone. I don't like this. Now, that's just me. Maybe that's your opinion, but I don't like the fact of being alone. Okay, I prefer having someone. I prefer having a female, you know, in my presence and all. You know, I mean, I just don't know how to be without a female around me. I just got to have that, because that's what God ordained. He said the husband and wife are supposed to be together, you know, and you love your wife and she respects you and reverence you and all of that. So I don't agree with that part that, you know, you can be alone. I mean, how long are you going to be alone? How long are you going to be to yourself?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. My answer to how long to be alone is this. You need time to purge, and some people need 3 months, 6 months, sometimes a year. But if you don't spend some time with yourself to get to know what you want and what you like in the person, it might not take a year, it might not take 2 years. But if you don't learn to love yourself first, how can you bring somebody in your life to love you, so that when that person comes into your life to love you, if you love you and you love yourself, then when a person comes to you and they tell you that's their sister clothes, you know that's not your sister clothes, their sister clothes. You can feel it. We feel things. I don't mean a person should be alone all the time. I'm just saying that when you purging from one relationship to another, you should not jump into another relationship until you are purged of that other bad relationship.
Well, I agree with some of that. I agree with some of that you're saying. I wouldn't jump directly into a relationship, but I don't like the fact now. I'll be looking now, and I'll look at some telltale signs myself as well. And so I'm not going to jump directly into it. I would wait after I've, you know, dated this person. I could date more than one. I could date two or three, you know, and then see which one that I feel that is best suited for me. And I'll look at those signs. I would always be looking at signs, and they won't even know that I'm looking at signs. I'm testing them and so forth and all. And as far as loving myself, I don't need anybody to show me that I need to how to love. I know how to love. I love myself to begin with. So I don't need a partner to love myself first. I'm loving myself to begin with. And you know, I do what I have to do to take care of me first. And then that's before I can even help somebody else. I got to love myself first. Even before I get involved in a relationship, I'm going to love myself. So I don't need a significant other to for me to love them, and then I'm going to love myself. No, I love myself first.
That's not what I said. I said the person had to learn to love themselves before they could know if someone can love them. You don't need to have somebody to tell you that you love yourself. You love yourself. And then if you love yourself and when you love yourself, then you open up and you attract love to you. That's what I meant. And I think everybody, we all need somebody in our life to love, but we don't want anybody in our life to not treat us right. I'm going to tell you about this, and I'm going to just speaking for me. I believe in the Internet. I'll check a brother out in a heartbeat.
You do what?
I will check a brother out in a heartbeat.
Oh, you mean do a background check on the Internet?
You got it. And my son works FBI, honey. I will check them out so fast. By the time they walk up my door and the cameras, I know just about everything I want to know.
Well, this day and age, you have to do that. And I'm the artist, and this day and age, you almost have to do. And it's the same way around. You just need to do the same thing on that female as well. Check her out thoroughly, y'all. Making sure. Because they don't do the blood test anymore. That too, y'all. I mean, that's serious too. They don't do that anymore before you get married. They just let you go down there and get married. But before, they used to do blood tests on you and all.
That's one thing I think they should have never stopped. They should have never stopped.
I agree. Now, we're 100% there. We're 100% in agreement.
Now, let me ask you all this question. You know, our relationships are gambling. Ms. Cross, let me bring you in just for a second. And then, Jack, I want to ask this question because we talked about, you know, how long should you be alone? And let me just ask, what if, you know, in this case, like Zena, you know, Adam, Zena was really trying to just find the right fit for herself. I mean, who, you know, when you think about it, we're social beings. I don't think that we were created to really be alone. So we're social beings. So can anyone really say, or does it become an individualized thing to determine how long is long enough? I mean, because, I mean, we can purge and we can spend a year, 2 years, even longer purging, but I'm going to ask Ms. Cross this question and then Jack, same question to you, and that is, what if someone comes along that really almost sweeps you off your feet, that really is like, wow, you didn't even intend to meet them, but somehow you ended up, and it was almost like a godsend that you just connected. You know, I mean, it could have been a month or 2 months or 3 months after your relationship ended and you thought that you weren't over this other person, but now you meet somebody that you really hit it off with that have all of these qualities and tendencies that you didn't even find remotely in the person that you just split up with. So do you just let that pass by because you say, no, I got a purge. Give me, you know, check back with me in about a year and a half. Fine. Ms. Cross, you and then Jack, same question pretty much.
Well, I think it definitely is possible because you really don't know when Mr. Right is around the corner. I don't think you can really put a time frame on when the healing process happens because some people may get to the point where they dated 10, you know, just being extreme, but you've dated 10 guys in a year because and by the 10th guy is when you finally get that awe moment and learn your lesson that the guys that you are attracting is because of the aura that you're letting off.
Yes.
So you had to come to a realization that it's a lot of changes you may need to do within yourself. It may take a month, and by the next month you meet Mr. Right, and by this time you've already grown within yourself some, and you realize what your contribution was to these failed relationships. And because of your growth, you were kind of preparing yourself for Mr. Right. So I can't say that it's something that you have to wait a whole year for because that might not necessarily be true for everyone. But I do think you do have to take that time to kind of sit back and reflect on what are you attracting. Because if you're attracting if every relationship ends the same way, you got to step back and say, what am I doing to contribute to this relationship failing? And I really feel like everything you go through, good or bad, I talk to my kids about this. I'm like, your question should be, I'm spiritual, so what is God trying to teach me and what is he trying to show me? You've got to learn something from everything you go through. If you keep on going through the same thing, you got to step back and say, okay, this has to start. You have the realization with yourself, like, what am I doing to contribute to this? What am I doing?
Okay.
So I guess to answer your question. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that we walk by faith and not by sight. That is the scripture in the Bible and all. So now I'm going to present everything to him because I believe in God, and I'm sure all of us believe in God. So, you know, even though we haven't seen him, all of this is a faith walk. So I give everything to him, and I ask him to lead and direct. And then once I know that in his hand, he's going to direct my path. So if someone comes along and sweeps me off my feet, you know, after I've gotten out of a relationship or whatever, then I'm going to trust God that that's the one. Because, Lord, I gave it to you. You said we have not because we ask not. So I'm asking. And I'm depending and I'm believing in all. And I'm going to ask things up. I mean, Lord, I need to know because I'm the man. You made me. Now, see, women and men think differently. Our mindset is different. So I need somebody sooner than later. They may say, well, I'm going to wait and take my time, you know. But I need somebody, you know, and I'm not saying overnight. I just need somebody. I just need a companion, right? So, God, I'm trusting you. Would you deliver? And I believe that he will deliver that person at all. Now, I'm not unwise where I could see signs that I know this is not the right one because she's coming with attitude. She's showing me a lot of the negative signs and all of that, and all these red flags are coming up and all. I know that's not the one. I said, well, Lord, you gave me one to take a look at. Now I need to show me the one that's going to be the one of my dreams. So I'm sure he would do just that. I mean, you talk to God. Talking to God is like talking to a friend. So I share with him, you know, what I want, and I'm sure within my heart. Now, as long as I'm not being selfish and being vain and all of that, I believe that he will give me the desires of my heart because he promised that. He promised to do just that, so I believe it. So he's going to do that for me and all. But I don't want to wait forever. It might be 3 months. It might be 6 months. But still, during that time, you know, I'm recording and dating and all. Not necessarily, you know, jumping here and jumping there. But I'm courting because I'm trying to find the right one. But I'm dependent on him to show me that right one. He will do just that.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sorry. Let me interject, Dr. Walker. I think even the failed relationship, and I know this may sound a bit extreme, but I think they're somewhat of a blessing. Because I have adopted this mentality to where everything you go through is for you to grow. So it's somewhat of a blessing because now you've dated the wrong guy to know what, or the wrong woman to know what you want in the right woman.
That is correct.
So
that's what I was saying too.
I think, I think it definitely is a process of being able to grow and to know what you want, you know, because when you're, you know, we might think you want one thing, right? And that's not exactly what God wants for you.
That's right.
And that's somewhat a very big conflict because we have this whole mentality on we want this, that we want all these features in this guy, and God's like, that's what you want, but that's what you can't handle. You know,
that's not true. You
prayed for it. I'll give it to you, but I'm telling you, that's not what I want for you. And then you in this relationship and you have this epiphany like, dang, this is not what's good for me. And I'm kind of coming from my own situation. You know, we've all been through situations where we pray, this is what I want, this is what, you know, make it for me. And then I sit back and say, wow, I have an epiphany, like, this is not what he wants for me, you know. So everything, you know, especially with relationships, it definitely is it's a touch and go sometimes. It's a touch and go.
Yeah, that is so true. I met my dream man. You may said something earlier that it varies in age, and when you're older, it's harder to find someone. It's a lot older. I don't look my age and I don't act my age, but I'm older. But I did meet my dream man, and he was, I thought, the perfect man for me. He swept me off my feet. There was nothing he didn't do for me, wouldn't do for me, but God told me he wasn't for me. And he wasn't for me, and within no time he was married. But you know something? He wasn't for me. He's still a good man, and he's still a good friend, but he was not for me. And when you're looking for a partner when you're older, and I mean older, I'm in my 60s, it's a lot harder.
That was kind of where I was going with this here, because, you know, as you do get older,
I mean, how much time do you think you can take to purge when that one person may pass you by? And while you're telling them, no, I gotta, you know, I just got out of this relationship and now I need some time to think before I move on to the next one. When, you know, now all of a sudden you realize what you've missed, you know, because the next one don't seem to be coming sooner than later, as Jack put it. And now you want to try to go back to the one that passed by you. And then you realize somebody else done got that one. And they're saying, well, you know, I'm involved.
No, the one that passed you by was not the one for you. If you didn't miss nothing. You learn something from it, and you move on. And then you say, okay, God, what do you have for me now? And then you just, you know, and if it's God's will, and if there's the right person for me, God will send him to me. Mm-hmm. And he will find me. I don't have to even go search for him. He will find me. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them find me, but they're not the right
one. Isn't it, could there be times that we've ignored what God has sent for us? Jack, what do you think that means?
True, because I like tall men and a lot of short men coming at me.
Yeah, I've heard stories about that. I've heard personal stories about that. We got to take some comments, y'all. Let's take some of these comments. And Ms. Augustine, let's go and give you the first comment that's come into the studio. Let's take a look here. In reference to our relationships with gamble, this male, he says, of course they are. Just like life is a gamble, just like Jack did. Just like doing anything else out there in terms of striving for success, everything appears to be a gamble, including relationships. Ms. Augustine, is he on point? I think so.
He's on point. Everything is a gamble. Okay. You know, walking out your door is a gamble. You know, investing money is a gamble. Life is a gamble. Eating food. You know, you have allergies. Can you eat this? Can you drink that? Life is a gamble. Relationship is a gamble.
All right. Ms. Cross, we'll bring you in for this next one here. This comment, the female says, she says, in reference to relationships being a gamble, based on the divorce rate, I would say that relationships are definitely a gamble. Ms. Cross, I heard what you said earlier, but, you know, I know you're looking for the good, but there's still a gamble in that. You know, it's a flip of the coin, right?
Yeah, yes, it definitely is a gamble, and she's right. Because it's funny, because in my work setting, I had a patient who was married for 36 years. And I always joke when I have my patients that's been married for 20-plus years, and I always say, well, I always talk to the woman, right, because I'm not a feminist, but, you know. And I say, well, he must be a good guy because you kept him. And they laugh. But I'm just thinking, like, for someone to be married for 20-plus, 30-plus years, there was a lot of things that went with being in that marriage. And I'm sure they had a lot of outs, you know, because we all have. You're getting in a relationship, and there's going to be something that gives you an out, where you're like, okay, if you leave, nobody probably would hold it against you. But to actually stay within a marriage for so long, it's a gamble. And even if, like, I had one patient, and she says, you know, he forgave me for a lot of things, and I just formed my own opinion as to what that meant. But I kept thinking, like, you know, he could have said, you know what, I'm not going to take the risk that she won't hurt me again. And time and time she hurt him again. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you have an after, and it became a beautiful thing 30, 40 years later. So I really do think that she's right. That's how life goes.
Wow. Interesting. Jack, this male writes in, he says, I think it's less of a gamble if you connect with someone who you are more compatible with and have the chemistry with as well. What do you think? Is he hit the mark?
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely hit the mark on that. I mean, you guys are compatible, and you guys like the same thing, basically, and all. And, you know, you love going to the same places and all, and, you know, you like doing the same thing. So that's not a gamble so much. You've hit you struck gold because you found somebody that believes in some of the things that you're doing, and they do some of the same things that you're doing. I wanted to just say this real quickly. You know, Ms. Cross talked about, you know, she liked tall men and all these short men coming at her. That was Ms. Augustine. Ms. Augustine is still there.
Oh, that was Ms. Augustine. Okay, all right. Well, this friend of mine, he was trying to find the right woman. He was trying to find the right woman, and all these, I don't want to call them ugly, but all these unattractive ladies was coming at him. So he told me, he said, I got all these ladies coming at me, but he didn't say unattractive. I'm saying unattractive. He called them ugly. So all these ugly women coming. He said, I'm not into ugliness. He said, I'm into beauty. Finally, after maybe about a year or so of looking and all, he found somebody. And then when I saw him with her, I said, is that your girlfriend? He said, no, she's my wife. She was very attractive. He said, because I told you from the beginning, I'll start off with beauty. He said, then everything else has to fall in place from there. Does that make sense?
It did to him, and, you know, yeah, because he went after only what his preference was.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing to have a preference, because you don't want to end up with physical appearance or unhappy with something that they're not able to offer, because you're going to always feel like you're missing something. And your mind, even though you may not cheat, your mind may always question what you could have had. So I would hate to be in a relationship where the person is not attracted to me for one reason or the other. It doesn't have to be 100%, but I at least need 90, 95. I want someone who's attracted to me and how I look, how I am, just overall, so that you don't have more of a reason to step up. Because there's always not true. You know what? You understand? You guys understand what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Let's take a couple more comments, and then we're going to try to start winding the show down because we're 7 minutes out. Let's go here. Ms. Cross, let's give you this one here. She said, this male says, I think being equally yoked minimizes the gambling relationship with like the chemical compatibility. It's still a gamble, though. All right, so how would them being equally yoked, when it's going to minimize, you know, the gambling relationship, how is that still a gamble then, even though you're
Yeah, I feel like it definitely does help you have bringing two totally different experiences to the table. So even though I might agree, we may have a lot of things in common, I may agree with a lot of the things that you're about, my experiences may shed a different light on what I like versus what you like. So that in itself can, I won't say cause a barrier, but it can. You know, just because we may think the same, the way it comes out may be different. So I think that's why it's still a gamble, because it's just not a guarantee that, and it's just not a guarantee. And even if you meet this person at one stage of your life, what's to say you're not going to change how you feel in the future, and that person remains the same in how they feel? So then, does that cause a problem? So I think that's why it's still a gamble, because situations can change how you feel about things.
And I certainly concur there as well. Ms. Augustine, give us your thought on that. I mean, you know, if you really are equally yoked, does that minimize the gamble, but it's still a gamble, they say?
It's still a gamble because, you know, you got two grown people and they have different personalities. And even though you might want to do the same thing or might like the same thing, you still have two different people. And you're not going to agree on everything. But the thing is, when you are more compatible, it's a better chance of the relationship working. You will try to help, please each other and help each other. If one disagrees, one may say, you know, all right, you know, I'll go along with it. You know, it would be much better. It might work much better, but it's still a gamble.
Let's go with Jack and find out what his thoughts are. That being equally yoked, does that minimize the gamble, in your opinion?
Well, first, when you asked that question, I was thinking that equally yoked meant the same as being compatible, but not necessarily, because you don't know that person yet. I don't know how you determine that you're equally yoked. You just met. unless you're talking about from a spiritual standpoint, you both believe the same thing. But even though you believe the same thing, it may not come across the way that you believe it or what she believes it are. You may say that, okay, we believe this type of, we believe this religion, we believe in this religion or this God. Then just because you believe in that type of religion, that doesn't mean you do all the things that's there. And you're going to find those things out as you get into the relationship and all. So being equally yoked doesn't mean that you're definitely compatible. It doesn't mean that you're going to always be together and all. So yeah. I don't think that being equally yoked is really going to basically benefit both parties.
Okay. All right. Let's take one final one, and then we're going to introduce the topics next week and the following week. Let's just take this last one here. And Ms. Augustine, we'll begin with you. The female, she says, in terms of relationships being a gamble, either way you look at it, there are no guarantees of anything in life outside of the usual, like paying taxes and needing money for survival. What do you think? I mean, Ms. Augustine, she sounds like she's right on point in this case.
Well, she's on point, but she got it kind of a little wrong. There's two things guaranteed, taxes and death.
Right. Okay.
So the only things that's guaranteed. And so relationships and life is a gamble.
Okay. Jack, your thoughts on it?
There's no guarantees on anything. We all can say that, and I think we all have said that too. There's no guarantees on anything at all. So I definitely agree with that.
Okay. All right. Ms. Cross, you know, you take the final word on that, and then let's introduce shows next week. And I just want to get your opinion on some of these upcoming shows. Just a quick thought on them. We got 2 minutes outside.
Well, I do believe that relationships are a gamble, but I also believe that you shouldn't let that stop you from taking the gamble. Because in my heart of hearts, we were not meant to be here alone. So sometimes you're going to, in order for you to know what a good relationship looks like, you may have to have been in a bad one. So that shouldn't stop you from actually, you know, taking the next step. And because Mr. Wright might be around the corner or Mrs. Wright might be around the corner. So I really feel though it's a gamble, you should be willing to take the risk.
I love it. I love that. Let me ask you all this. Let me ask you all this. Okay, now having said that, next week's show, well, we got they're at a cross between doing these two, one next week and one the following week. Let me ask you all which one would you like to hear from next week. This first one goes, should adult children sound threatening to a parent's new relationship? Okay. And then another show is, when it comes to relationships, do we create our own realities over the red flags? So let's begin with you, Ms. Augustine. What would you like to hear next week? The one about adult children sounding threatening to a new relationship where you meet someone new and the child is like, you know, you're threatening that relationship because you're concerned about your mother dating someone when the threat may not even be warranted. What are your thoughts?
I would love to talk about that one because my son, he checks everybody out who talks to me.
Okay. I'm going to hold that thought. Jack, let's go to you. Which one would you want to hear? You know, do we create our own realities over the red flags?
I guess I'll go with the latter then, because we kind of talked about a little bit of that tonight, and then I'd like to finish it up. So I'll go with the latter.
Okay, creating our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Cross, what do you think? And then we're going to serve some other people as well. What do you think, Ms. Cross?
Yeah, I think it would be the relationship, us creating our own reality. Because I think it'll kind of flow.
With this one here. Okay, all right. We will definitely find out next week. It'll be one of those two topics. But listen, tonight we're out of time. Thank you all for joining us so much this evening. Continue to tell your friends about us. We hope to see you back here either tomorrow night at 7 for your half-hour inspiration program. And, of course, if you can't see that one, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow, until next Thursday,
I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.